Willkommen bei WeTalk, dem Podcast der Werteinitiative rund um das jüdische Leben in Deutschland.
Shalom und herzlich willkommen bei WeTalk, dem Videopodcast der Werteinitiative rund um Themen des jüdischen Lebens in Deutschland. Mein Name ist Nelly Eliasberg und ich begleite Sie heute durch diese Folge. Heute haben wir einen Gast, der uns aus Israel zugeschaltet ist. Unser heutiges Gespräch findet daher auf Englisch statt. On October 7th, Hamas murdered 1,200 people in unimaginably brutal ways, including dozens of German citizens. 251 people were kidnapped into Gaza. On that day, countless lives were turned upside down, including the lives of the hostage families who lost loved ones without knowing what exactly happened. Ruby Chen is one of them. His son, Itai Chen, a 19-year-old dual German-Israeli citizen and IDF soldier who was defending his country on October 7th at the Nahal Oz Army base, was kidnapped into Gaza. Itai is one of the seven remaining German citizens in captivity for today 633 days. In March 24, the military notified the family that Itai did not survive the October 7th attack, which was not confirmed by Hamas to this day. Until the present day, the family has no evidence about his whereabouts. Ruby Chen became one of the loudest voices in favor of a hostage deal, and he continues to fight. He joins us today from Tel Aviv. Please welcome our special guest, Ruby Chen. Ruby, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me.
You are one of the clearest advocates for a hostage deal. You are in the public eye. You are fighting for the hostages, deceased and alive, who are still being held in Gaza. Among them is your son, Itai. What gives you the strength for this difficult fight?
You know, it's asking what is the alternative. I believe that I have a voice that others lost. There are families that have become too tired to continue fighting. And it's unfortunate that we need to use the adjective fight, and it is not collectively understood by the Israeli government, by the international community, that the release of hostages is a priority for everyone. And we will not stop until my son and 49 other hostages are released from captivity.
Please tell us about your son, Itai. How did you learn about the kidnapping, and what do you know so far?
So maybe I'll start by saying that we are a normal family. My wife's mother was born in Germany, Bad Reichenhall in Bavaria, and their family are Holocaust survivors, and they moved to Israel after Itai's grandmother was born. And I am a U.S. citizen, so that makes Itai a German, U.S., Israeli citizen. At the age of 18, he could have done anything. He could have gone to Europe, he could have gone to the United States, but he understood what it means to be a soldier and protect the state of the Jews. Here in Israel, it is mandatory. It is not a profession, at least for 18-year-olds. And Itai joined the tank division, and he was protecting the ceasefire, the border of Gaza, with his squad, three other people. And silence went off at 6:30 in the morning. He preferred to call his girlfriend, not us, and say that he is okay, and that he would take care of himself. And they immobilized in the tank, started to do what they were supposed to do. But the sheer numbers was staggering. And Hamas came in very large. This surprise attack seeking to kill Jewish people just because they are Jewish people, or burn them, or rape women. And after a few hours, the tank was neutralized, and he and his tank members were taken hostage, kidnapped, abducted. And that happened 633 days ago, with Hamas not providing any evidence, any recognition, any visit from doctors to visit the hostages, and those who were killed even provide the minimum dignity that any human being should have, and that is being brought to burial.
What kind of person was Itai before October 7th?
So Itai is the middle child, so he has an elder and younger sibling. I don't know about you. I am also a middle child. And the middle child is the more challenging one. The elder gets the cellular phone first. He gets the car keys first. The youngest is the Kindle. Always, you know, he's the one that everyone spoils. So Itai tried to find his path, and he did a lot of extracurricular activities, from singing and dancing. He was also the connector in the family, because there's a 10-year difference between my youngest son and my eldest son. But more than anything else, he loved being a Boy Scout, being a counsel for younger kids, and he loved playing basketball. And in an alternative universe, if October 7th would not have happened, he would probably be now someplace in Europe, traveling with his girlfriend, enjoying life in the summertime, and thinking what he would like to do, studying in a university or something else.
Thank you for sharing this with us. I think it's very important to talk about the people behind those names and numbers, so it is clear that's actually real lives that are being destroyed here. Let's move on to another question. Since October 7th, a lot has been happening, especially in recent days and weeks, and especially since Israel has launched the attack on the nuclear facilities in Iran and the United States entered the war. So is the public and political attention shifting away from the hostages? Are they being forgotten?
So it is difficult keeping the public attention on a topic for almost 21 months. We need to thank the media for keeping this topic afloat. But what happened the last 2 weeks is a significant change in the Middle East. And as a business person, I was taught and believe that when there is change, there is opportunity. And we just need to identify that opportunity. The German government, the previous German government, was very sympathetic. We had enough empathy to last me for a lifetime and even more. But it was lacking in actions. And the question that I challenge Chancellor Merz and his government: is there now a different viewpoint? Are the working assumptions that Germany had until 2 weeks ago, are they the same? And I would challenge and say that we are in a different ecosystem, and there is opportunity, and there are 7 German citizens, and there is an obligation, a legal obligation, for Germany to take care of its citizens. And the question now, if today there is a different path to get these 7 German citizens out.
So let's break this down a little bit. So how did the war against the Islamic Republic of Iran change the situation, and what opportunities are coming out of that, in your opinion?
One of the main beneficiaries that Hamas has used was Iran, not just from a diplomatic standpoint, but from a military standpoint, but also from an economic standpoint. And I'd like to speak about that for a moment. At the end, terrorist organizations, they need money. And there is a global terrorist financing network that Hamas uses to pay its supporters, to buy weapons, and to keep the hostages. The United States, earlier this month, placed sanctions on a group of entities that have been moving money, the Hamas military. And the question is, where's Germany? And why is Germany not joining? A lot of the money that goes into Hamas flows through Turkey as a financial hub. Germany has very close relationships with the Turkey banking system. What is possible to influence to suck that economic oxygen out? Germany also has very good relationships with Iran and with other countries that now maybe influence more Hamas than the past. So when you look at this new situation, I again urge the government. We are visiting Berlin next week, and this is what we will advocate, that there is time maybe to reassess the working assumptions that have been in place until now.
So you spoke about this a little right now. So you traveled a lot. You were in the United States, I guess, several times already when Israel launched its preemptive attack against Iran's nuclear facilities, and your flight was routed to Europe. And during your stay recently in Berlin, you spoke with German officials. So what would you have wished for from the former German government? And do you see a change of course in Germany's new government, a new government's actions towards the hostage situation?
So being last week in Germany, I met officials from the foreign affairs, from Minister of Interior, counterterrorism, met in the Chancellor office, also an official speaking about this topic. And we have hope that this new government actually is going to do more than just say, we are behind you and we support you. But there are, as I said, those opportunities. On Saturday, we met Minister of Interior Dubois, that is visiting here. And he came here as one of the first things that he wanted to do to show his care and the connection between Israel and Germany. And he met the German families, which was very nice of him. And just to say again what I said before, our message to him was the same. We're not looking only just to get empathy. We wish to get actions. And he, as Minister of Interior, has that ability to develop a policy together with the Minister of Finance, speaking about sanctions, but also speaking about the diplomatic capabilities. So we hope that there will be a follow-up next week when we come to Berlin and we are able to meet him again and ask him, okay, what has he been able to move forward since our meeting? And hopefully there are some things that are actionable.
Well, we see a lot of protest in Germany and in the West in general, especially coming out of academia and universities. We see people siding with terror organizations and even with the Islamic regime in Iran against Israel, downplaying or even denying the crimes of October 7th. What is your message to those protesters?
As I say, I spoke at the UN Security Council last month, and I will repeat, we are all children of God. We all walk this planet together. There is no competition on pain, and there has been enough suffering. Also for the people in Gaza that have been used as human shields by a terrorist organization. And it's unfortunate, but this terrorist organization, as a fact, does not care about the Palestinian people as it should. And Germany and others have been financing this terrorist organization in indirect ways by believing that the humanitarian aid going in is indeed helping the people of Gaza. But that is not the case, unfortunately. And there needs to be the international community saying that there are actions that are unacceptable. Even if you are not a state, if you are a non-state actor, such as a terrorist organization as Hamas that was banned by Germany, taking dead people as negotiation chips is something that even the Quran is against. Not providing doctors to enter people that have been caught in areas of conflict is against international law. And the question is, where's the implementation of these laws today? And I think here, any proud German, patriotic German that is listening, should know that Hamas killed more than 24 German citizens. Hamas today is holding 7 German citizens against their will. And any German that is listening now should be in favor of A, bringing justice to those Germans that were killed, because killing a German citizen any place should be a liability and there should be consequences. And he should also be in favor of finding a way to release German citizens from captivity, because if it happened here, terrorists will understand this is also a good thing to do, maybe in other areas. And any German traveling now to his summer vacation needs to take into account this might happen to him as well.
That's a very important information. So last question. A couple moments ago, you spoke about the support from governments, from officials. But what can Jews in the diaspora, as well as non-Jews, do, like each and every one of us, to contribute to a positive outcome for the remaining hostages and their families? So what kind of support from outside Israel do you wish for?
So as a U.S. citizen, what I say to the U.S. community in the United States, I will say the same. In the United States, I have my congressman, as well as any Jew in Germany, he has his parliament member. And it is very much appreciated that you take 5 minutes of your day, 2 minutes of your day, write an email to your parliament member or to a minister or to the consular office and say, I am a proud German Jewish citizen. I wish to ask you, what have you done today to help release the 50 hostages, including 7 German citizens? And end the email by saying, I will send you this email again tomorrow, the next day, the next week, until all of them are released. We have social activities also giving us that support is, of course, a positive. But I believe that the majority of the German public opinion are not aware that A, more than 24 German citizens were killed, and there are still 7 German hostages. And by amplifying that message to the parliament members, to the ministers, is something that I think is very positive.
Ruby, thank you so much for sharing your story, your thoughts, your feelings with us. We hope that Itai and the other hostages will be brought home as soon as possible and the families can finally begin the healing process. And we will continue to support you as much as we can. Thank you so much, Ruby.
Thank you and God bless everyone listening, and hopefully we have good news soon.
Und auch Ihnen, liebe Zuschauer und Zuhörer, herzlichen Dank, dass Sie heute bei uns waren. Mehr über unsere Arbeit erfahren Sie auf unserer Homepage werteinitiative.de. Dort finden Sie auch weitere Folgen unseres WeTalks mit vielen spannenden Gästen. Um keine neuen Folgen zu verpassen, abonnieren Sie gern unseren Newsletter und folgen Sie uns auch auf Social Media. Bis zum nächsten Mal hier beim WeTalk.
Das war WeTalk, der Podcast der Werteinitiative rund um das jüdische Leben in Deutschland. Wenn Sie mehr über die Werteinitiative wissen wollen, folgen Sie uns in den sozialen Medien, schauen auf unsere Webseite und abonnieren unseren Newsletter.